Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there, folks. This is Carl. We are going to do our Bible study today and for the next 90 minutes. And I am going to, I'm going to talk about our salvation today and tie that in with the Passover, which is exactly what we're, as a nation and as a world, not a nation, is celebrating today is Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ after he was crucified. I'm going to change a little bit. Originally, what we were working on is John chapter 14, 15, 16, in the Gospel of John about the Holy Spirit, but we'll take a break of that today. And one thing I do want to mention, though, and please notice that for next week's schedule, I'm actually going to be on, even though I've got a 90-minute program every week. Next week, the 16th, I'm not going to start till 3:30. I cannot start until 3:30, so we'll go 1 hour, 3:30 to 4:30 next week. Let's start off today. I'm going to give you a phone number you can call. If you want to speak, you can call this phone number. You can speak to me or make a comment. Again, the only thing I'd ask is we keep it to the context of what we're talking about, just for continuity's sake. And the phone number would be a free phone call, no charge, from a landline or a cell phone in continental United States to 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. And that is a free call. And again, you're more than welcome to call, and you may want to listen to it on the phone. You may want to call in and make a comment or ask a question, and that's fine. Let's just make sure that we're appropriate in our language. Every week I say this, I have to say it, but unfortunately I do. We're going to be talking, and I'm going to draw parallels in our life as far as the exodus of the Hebrew people out of bondage for 450 years, the bondage of Egypt. And I want to draw the parallels with our everyday life, because something I'm a great believer in with any Bible study. This is what I so much discourage about going to commentaries as your only source of what a verse means in the scripture. Every verse in here is written to be applied personally to our life, our situation, our good times, our bad times. Everything in this Bible is written for our benefit. And it's like anything that you nourish your body with, including medical health, medications when you've got infections, it must be applied to be any help. And that's why, I want people to go to read commentaries. I'd rather read the commentaries than anything on the news media today, even including the sports world. You can't even watch certain sports networks today without having a political message put forth somehow. But don't use the commentaries, folks. I keep saying this, and I will until I die, which at 80 years old may not be long, but I want you to go to the Holy Spirit. Go to the Holy Spirit who inspired every word. We have in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, and 2 Timothy 3, 15 and 16, specifically 16, every word in this scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I always use the statement to my own self, why do I want to if someone wrote a book and that person is sitting there right with me as the Holy Spirit is, in fact, more than with me, he dwells in us. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. If we're truly born again, why is it that I would want to go and ask somebody else what the Holy Spirit was saying why is it that I would do that? Bear with me just a minute. You're late to start your show. I don't understand how I'm late to start my show. Let me... schedule episode. I'm going to keep going here, folks. Pardon the interruption. I keep getting a message on here that I'm late to start the show, and I have no idea what that's saying, because when I came on, I came on with about 5 minutes before the show, and it kept telling me my show will start in 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes. If I'm not on here, I sincerely do apologize. I don't understand what's going on, but I'm going to keep trying it. We want to apply. I want you to go to the Holy Spirit. I want you to go to the Holy Spirit on all of this that we do. Anything that we do with the Bible study, anything in the scripture, he wrote the book. He lives inside of you. He dwells in you. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Do not go to anybody, including Carl. Please don't go to anybody, including myself, unless you have opened the Bible and read it yourself, because only the Holy Spirit can give you the application you need right now, today. Having said all that, I'm going to go up. I'm going to just do a little bit of a test here. Just bear with me a minute. In fact, if you people would just hold, my iPad keeps telling me I'm not connected. I wish somebody would give me a ring and just let me know if it is connected or not. It says I haven't started the program and I'm running late, and I don't understand that. I got a problem.
What?
Let me see your phone.
Great American Ballpark to begin the next...
It's just the same old thing, Sue. It's always. But I'm not going to get excited. Oh, I got to get that phone number. I'll be back. Just bear with me if anybody is listening. Because, again, my iPad keeps saying that I'm not on the radio. I need somebody to call in, or I'm going to try on another phone number here to verify whether it is, whether I am working or not. Just bear with me. Just hold on, folks. Just stick with me for a minute. I'm going to give this other cell phone to someone and see if they can hear me. Would you please take that and see if you can hear me talk? My computer says, the iPad says I'm not on the radio. Can you hear anything?
Barely.
You can hear?
Yeah.
Okay, so that means I'm connected.
Yeah, go, talk in a different room.
Okay, just see if you can hear. Okay. Okay. All right, I don't understand, folks. Another difficulty that I run into, I haven't had it in a while, but every couple of minutes my iPad says I'm not connected, I'm late to start the program. We took another cell phone, I am on there, so I apologize for wasting a good 11 minutes of your time, so let me continue. Okay. Bear with me here. I do not understand what's happening. It's still telling me that I'm not on. I just wish if anybody was listening to this, you'd please call this 319-527-6208 and just tell me if you can hear it or not. Just hold on a minute. Okay. I've sent Raven, who isn't going to be with me today, a message and asked her to call just to let me know if I'm coming across. But we're going to continue. We're going to be talking about, again, today, Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to go back and show you what the whole idea of Jesus Christ coming to this earth was about. And we're going to, and the book of Exodus, chapter 12, is a very, very, very good it's a very good application of the Bible story of Exodus to every one of us who are in bondage through sin. We're in bondage through sin to the world, to the system of the world, the mystery Babylon that is talked about in Revelation, the world system, organized religion, which is bondage, anything that's not faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone is bondage. So what we got going on is in chapter 12, I'm going to start and I'm going to make the application and just connect it with your everyday life to why Jesus Christ, being God, John 10:30 says, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. And this is telling us that we are this is telling us that we are in bondage. We're born into slavery. We're born into sin, and that was inherited from Adam and Eve. And Romans chapter 2. No, Romans chapter 5, 1 through 10, and Romans chapter 2, 1 through 10, give a good description of the fact that we are in bondage. And so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read this. And in chapter 12 of Exodus, it said, the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of the month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, every man will take a lamb according to the house of their father, a lamb for a house. Okay, now, we're going to see here. Remember the lamb, Jesus Christ, in John 1:14 and 1:29. It says in John 1:14, that the Word, and for John 1:1 says the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word is God, meaning Jesus Christ. And in 1:14 of John it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, which is Jesus Christ. And in John 1:29. It says that, hold on, this is something. I've got another problem, folks. It says here that I am not on the radio again. I wish somebody could please give me a ring and let me know. I've got to dial that number again. It's telling me again I'm not on. For who's ever listened to this thing, I sure do apologize. I've done this for over 3 years. I've never had this happen. Tell me again if you hear me. So we're going to apply this again. We're going to apply the Passover that actually happened to the people in Egypt, the Hebrews, who were in slavery for 450 years. And that is the situation that we're in, that we're born in, due to the fall of Adam and Eve. We've lost the communication with God. We're at enmity with God, the book says, which is a deep hatred. And people will say, well, I don't hate God. Well, I didn't say that. The Bible says it. The King James Version, I believe it's in Ephesians, says we're at enmity with God. Let me just check and see if it's on. Can you hear?
It's on, yeah. I put you on speaker. I can
Okay. Again, I gave another cell phone to someone. I'm on. I don't know why this thing keeps telling me that I'm not on. But enough of that. I keep getting the message that I'm not on. Let me bring Raven on here a minute. Hold on just a minute. I'm going to get her. I don't know. You're not coming on. Raven, if you can hear me. My iPad keeps telling me that I'm not on. The host did not join. The program is late. And I can't get you to join. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to keep going. Would you please let Dave know that I'm having this difficulty? So if someone says that I wasn't on today, I am on. I don't know what else to do. Let me hang up on you, Raven, and see if you could do me one more time. Try calling. Hold on a minute. Maybe I can. No, I just push you to come on, and circles keep going around. Okay, so we'll continue with this. Win, lose, or draw, we're gonna finish this out. So again, they were told, here's what they were told in verse 3. Speak to the whole congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month you will take to them every man a lamb. Every man taking a lamb. What that means, folks, is that every one of us are born into sin. We need to have the Lamb of God, who is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross 2,000 years ago. And rose on Easter Sunday to pay for our sin. We need to have that blood of Jesus Christ applied to us to save us, just as the blood of the lamb that they would slay. Every man would take the blood of the lamb, and every man would apply it to the doorposts. If you remember, and we're going to read this. And when the death angel came over and he saw the blood, meaning their faith was in the shed blood of that lamb, pointing toward the coming of Jesus Christ, that they would be, the death angel would pass over. So, and then now we're going to take this lamb, when it's talking about the lamb that they're going to sacrifice for Passover, and they're going to apply the blood to the doorposts. We are doing the very same thing when our faith is in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We are doing the very same thing, applying the blood of Jesus Christ by faith. Even though it was 2,000 years ago, we're applying it to our sinful condition that we have born into and inherited through the sin of Adam and Eve. And you can read again that inherited sin that we've all got in Romans chapter 5, 1 through 10, and Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Okay, so then we come down to, we're in Exodus 12 still, and it's going to be verse 4. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next into his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your account for the land. Again, the encouragement that every human, every person, everyone has to take and take part in this sacrifice of the lamb and applying the blood of the lamb back in the days of Exodus, apply that blood to the doorposts so that the death angel would pass over them and they would not be harmed. We are applying the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, John 1:29. We're applying that blood to our inherited sin nature that we were born with. And when our faith is only in Jesus Christ and Him crucified and nothing else, not your church, not your denomination, not your religious observance, not your baptism by water, you are saved according to Ephesians 2:8-9. You're saved by grace through faith, not of works of our own, so no one can boast. And then in Galatians 2:21, I believe it is, it says very clearly in Galatians 2:21, that if righteousness could be had by us obeying the law, which is any form of religion whatsoever, if righteousness could be obtained by our obedience in any way, shape, or form, in fact, I'll read it. It says here, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, meaning obeying the law, then Christ died in vain. So here again, we've got the blood of the Lamb, and that is necessary for their life to continue, because the death angel is going to come by. And what the statement was, you remember back in when Pharaoh just kept ignoring and he kept reneging on his promise to let the people of God go so they could go worship. And every time he did that, he would change his mind, harden his heart. And then God would harden his heart further, and he wouldn't let people go and worship the people of Israel that were in captivity, were born into because of an inherited sin. And everyone has to apply their faith in the blood. The shed blood of Jesus Christ is going to save your soul the moment you die. Hebrews says that it is appointed once for man to die, and then the judgment. It is appointed once for man to die, and then the judgment. When you go out of this world, folks, the only thing that's going to count anything, the only thing that's going to count for anything at all is going to be, did you go into eternity with your faith for your forgiveness of sin? Did you repent from your sin? Were your sins forgiven? And they only can be forgiven if your faith is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing. And that is, and I hate this phrase, that is the end of the conversation. And we're going to see here again the application in a practical sense of Exodus 12. So everyone is told here that the household, if it be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it, according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Make sure everybody makes sure that there is enough lamb sacrifice and everybody partakes, because everybody in the house, every household must have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, on the frame of the door. And when the death angel sees this, hold on, let me try you again. Raven, if you can hear me, all it's doing is it's going madly in circles. You're not coming on. And I just hope you're here in the program. But I'm going to keep going. And what I did do, Raven, just for your knowledge, I did have Sue call the program, and she said she could hear it. So I don't know why the iPad is telling me that I'm late. I'm now 33 minutes late or something. All right, your lamb will be without blemish. Here's where we get into the fact, folks, that it is Jesus Christ. Your lamb will be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it of the sheep or from the goats. Without blemish. Without blemish is meaning that Jesus Christ committed no sin. Remember, it says, I believe it's in Corinthians, it says that he who was had no sin was made sin for us. And when it says was made sin, it doesn't mean that Jesus Christ, of course, committed sin. What it means is the sins of Jesus Christ were put on, or the sins, excuse me, pardon me, I'm still rattled by this message I keep getting. The sins of human beings, every one of us, are put on Jesus Christ, and he paid for them at the cross. Let me read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read 17 through 21, and you'll see exactly the analogy we're given. If any man, verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that only happens by your faith in the shed blood of the perfect lamb, the spotless lamb, without spot or blemish, and be a male of the first year. That is in Exodus 5, or Exodus 12, verse 5. I want you to write 2 Corinthians and 5 and 17 through 21. This will help you with your study. So again, we're going to continue in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. By Jesus Christ, you are reconciled. You are reconciled to God. All sin damage paid for. Only by your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ of what we celebrated 2 days ago. We celebrated it 2 days ago, the death of Christ on the cross, Good Friday. But you are reconciled in the mind of God right now. If someone today made the decision that their faith is going to be based on nothing more, nothing less than Jesus Christ and him crucified, if that is the case, you are now applying the blood to your doorpost. So when the judgment comes, the moment you go into eternity, as Hebrews said, is appointed for man once to die and then the judgment. You're going to go into eternity, and the death angel will have no effect on you when he sees the blood applied to your sins. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So now, as a result of Christ dying for our sins, and us now applying the blood of the Passover lamb to our sins, and having our sins no longer, our trespasses no longer imputed to us, we now have the ministry of the word of reconciliation, which is the Great Commission. Not only the Great Commission, but the Great Commission and the ministry of reconciliation is the same thing. It's spreading the gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sin. Your salvation is based on one thing and one thing only, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. It does not depend upon your religiosity, your willpower, your ability to obey religious commandments, especially when we're talking the commandments of men. Just try and take 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, and apply them to what we're talking about, where the Passover, where everybody took a lamb and everybody had to take the lamb, and everybody had to eat the lamb, and we're going to get into that. Nobody was to bypass eating part of a sacrificial lamb, and they were to eat it, meaning digest it, take it all in. Everything that Christ did, every aspect of his life was for our good. So let me continue then. We've read in Exodus chapter 12, we read verse 5. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel will kill it in the evening. Again, the whole congregation. Verse 3. It says here in verse 3, every man a lamb. In verse 5, it says, verse 4, it says, every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. So everybody is to partake. And you shall keep it, in verse 6, until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening. Nobody is going to be left out. Why? Because without the shed blood of Jesus Christ being applied to your sin by grace through faith in Ephesians 2:8, you folks are not born again. And the consequences of that, I don't think I need to explain. All right, verse 7 of Exodus 12. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides of the posts and the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast it with fire, and unleavened bread with bitter herbs they shall eat it. What is this meaning? Translate this again. You shall roast it with fire. Fire is God's judgment. God's judgment has to completely consume the Lamb of God. That's exactly the picture we have here of our salvation. And that's what we're celebrating on this weekend where we had, well, we started out the whole week of Easter. But we came down to where Good Friday, Christ died on the cross, and everybody, and he shed his blood, and everybody by faith, has got to take part in applying that shed blood of Jesus Christ to what? You've got to apply it to your sins by faith. And I'm being very honest and serious here. I don't want you to have any thought about anything you do that is going to save your soul. It is totally impossible, totally impossible. Nothing you can do or I can do or even think of. In fact, if we have anything that we think of, and we're going to add it to the finished work of Jesus Christ, that's an abomination in the sight of God. Don't think of anything whatsoever when it comes to salvation other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hopefully, what I'm saying here is computing, and you're seeing where the same issue that we talked about in 2 Corinthians, where he who had no sin, which is Jesus Christ, was made sin for us, is exactly what we're saying here with this lamb. It has to be a perfect lamb. It had, in fact, after the animal was killed, they cut it apart and they examined every part internally. And the only way that lamb was accepted as a sacrifice for sin is if there was no spot or blemish inside or out when the high priest and the other rabbis, when they would examine the lamb, and they would only accept that animal as symbolically for their sin of the person who offered the sacrifice if the lamb was perfect. That should be a very good key to us. Your salvation, folks, is based upon the quality of the sacrifice. Just follow this bouncing ball a minute. Your salvation, my salvation, has nothing to do with anything that I contribute, other than if I respond to the grace of God in Titus 2:11, the grace of God for repentance leading to salvation appears to every man. That's all I can do, is make that decision. The work of salvation is entirely up to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, in John 1:14 and 1:29, who takes away the sin of the world. But one thing you must do, this flesh. Now, this flesh is going to be roasted, means burned. And the fire, the judgment of the fire, is going to consume. It's going to roast every part of that flesh of the spotless lamb that was sacrificed. And all these lambs for all the Old Testament were sacrificed as a symbol of the coming Lamb of God, who would have to be killed, and he would have to be roasted with fire, which was the fire of God's judgment on our sin. And he died taking the fire and the judgment of God's wrath for our sin, and he took it upon himself. So you see, when they roast the lamb in Exodus 12:8 with fire, that's God's judgment. It just consumes it. Okay, and then it says also unleavened bread. The unleavened bread, the difference between leaven and unleavened, leaven was always symbolic of, we know that what leaven and bread are right now, and you can have bread that's unleavened, but I guess it doesn't rise. I don't know. I don't cook. But this had to be unleavened bread. Why? Because leaven was used symbolically, even by Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Leaven was used as a symbol of sin. And we know in 2 Corinthians chapter, let me get back to it again. I'm having a little difficulty maneuvering my hands. I want to look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, God the Father, has made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, even though he knew no sin. He committed no sin, but all of our sin was laid on his back. And why? So that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God is not interested in seeing the righteousness of Carl. God wants to see the righteousness of the Lamb of God, his son, atoning for sins. He does not want Carl to go into eternity believing that anything he does, any church service he goes to, any good works he does, any random acts of kindness, any spiritual gifts that he boasts that he has, his faith is in nothing but that shed blood of the Lamb of God who died 2,000 years ago. And Carl must apply that blood to the doorposts of his soul when he goes into eternity, so that the death angel will have no power over me. The powers of darkness. Let me read with the death angel. Let me read in Ephesians 6:12 what our problems are, just so we're very clear on that. Our problems are one thing. Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Call Satan the death angel if you want. The moment you go into eternity, if you had the blood of Christ and nothing added to it, nothing subtracted, your total faith for your salvation is in that shed blood of the Passover lamb that we're talking about in the book of Exodus thousands of years ago. And every one of those lambs were pointing to the coming Jesus Christ, John 1:14-29. The Word is God. The Word was with God. The Word is God. The Word became flesh. So that very Word in John 1:14 became flesh and dwelt among us, which means it's Jesus Christ. And the Lamb of God who takes away your sins is not religion, not a spiritual gift, not baptism by water. It is one thing, only Jesus Christ, who died for your sin, and your faith is in that only. You are now recreating in your life, and I'll use the word recreating, or you're applying Exodus chapter 12 to your life. Now I'm going to read verse 7. They shall, and this is very critical and very important, very critical. You shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door posts of the house wherein you eat it. And I want to put next to that, I'm going to put Romans chapter 6, 3 through 6. And that is the baptism that we must be baptized with in order to save for our souls to be saved. Now, don't get upset with me yet. I said water baptism doesn't save your soul, and there is no ifs, ands, or buts. That is not scriptural. I don't know how it ever came into being a heresy that water baptism has anything to do with salvation, but Matthew chapter 3 talks about explicitly water baptism was only an indication of repenting from sin. But let me go to Romans chapter 6. This is the baptism that we must be baptized with. And when you're taking the blood and putting it on symbolically, when you're trusting in Jesus Christ, you're putting in his shed blood only. You're taking his blood and you're putting it on the two doorposts of your soul and the upper doorposts of your soul, which is the house. Symbolically, it was the house they were in, but to us now, it's applying it to our soul. And here's the baptism you have to be baptized with in order to go to heaven. It has nothing to do with water, but it is mandatory. Know you not, and this happens when by grace, through faith, your faith is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ only and nothing else, nothing, zero. When your faith is only in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, this is what happens to you. In chapter 6 of Romans, verse 3 through 6, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Nothing to do with water. Now, don't hear what I didn't say. I have nothing against water baptism. I've been baptized by water. Once as an infant, which had no effect, and then at 43 years old, baptized by grace into faith, knowing not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. That means you've applied the blood of the Lamb to the doorposts of your soul and the upper doorpost of your soul. Let me continue. Verse 4 of Romans 6. Therefore, you are buried with him by baptism into his death. Again, nothing to do with water. I don't say don't get baptized with water. It's a tremendous statement publicly of what Christ has did for you internally. But the external water has nothing to do with anything. In fact, if you are not sure that you have put your faith in nothing but the shed blood, you may not be baptized into this baptism you must be baptized with in chapter 6 of Romans. But let me continue. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That's therefore, meaning the assumption is made that you've been baptized into Jesus Christ, into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God, even though you will walk in the newness of life. That's what we're actually celebrating today, folks. Today is Easter Sunday. We're celebrating verse 4 of Romans 6. Therefore, you are buried with him by baptism into death. Your faith is in nothing but what he did at the cross. Nothing you do. No religious activity. Religious activity and what you do, the right religious activity, is a result of your born-again experience. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead, that's today, Easter Sunday, by the glory of God, even though you will be raised up by the same glory of God. And you were. You were resurrected out of your sin. You're a new person. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things have passed. Everything is new. You may still have the same problems, the same financial problems, the same business problems, the same people problems, the same whatever problems. Spiritually, you are a new person. You only are a new person by applying the shed blood of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, 2,000 plus years ago, when he died on the cross. That's what this entire chapter 12 of Exodus and Romans chapter 6 is the same exact thing. No difference. No difference whatsoever. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even while we should walk in the newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. You see, planted in the likeness of his death. The only way you're planted in the likeness of his death is if your faith for your salvation is in nothing but what Jesus Christ did. It has nothing to do with your faith in anything you do. In fact, if your faith is in your faith, you need to ask yourself, this is not what the Bible says. I wasn't saved by my faith. Ephesians 2:8, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works of your own. Raven, one, let me just interrupt folks the flow of this. If you're not feeling good, you don't have to stay on. Give me a call if you would today, though, when we're done here at 5 o'clock our time. I need you to tell Dave what happened because we'll go through that when you call. Thank you for calling, though, and if you want to stay on, that's fine. Okay, verse 5, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, in other words, if, consider it. Is your faith based on nothing but his death and his sacrifice, and he's the only one that could do anything to save you from hell? All your religiosity and your best days on this earth, the best day you've ever had, the best second you've ever had, is an abomination to God unless God sees the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts of your soul and your life. That's where God sees the good works that Jesus Christ works through you. Is your faith, are you sure you're baptized into his death and not into religion, not into ceremony, not even into biblically correct things? Is your faith in the fact you pray more than Raven and Carl? Is it in the fact you do Bible studies more often? Is it in the fact that you have more good works? You've got to ask yourself these folks, these questions. I was talking to three people at a nursing home yesterday. I run errands for a man there, and it takes 2 to 3 hours each time to accomplish it, but I do that. And these three people, they were caregivers. They worked for the nursing home. And that's what I was telling yesterday. Well, we go to church. We do that. Well, go to church. I don't miss going to church. I feel that I need to go. But going to church, folks, does not add one molecule of the blood of Jesus Christ to the doorposts of your soul or your life. Therefore, are you buried with him, with Christ, by baptism into his death? Not your good works, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we should walk in the newness. For if we have been planted, verse 5, together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. You see, that's exactly what Easter Sunday today is. It's Romans 6:5. if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Think of this. Why? Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That, again, is our choice. The body of sin might be destroyed. It's our choice. Are we going to walk according? Are we going to walk according to the flesh or according to the Spirit? Think about that. Because only a believer has a choice to walk through this life with his faith completely in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Most believers today, and I will say this, most people in the visible church today, in my humble opinion, are walking by the flesh. There are some believers in the churches today who have applied the blood of Romans 6 and Exodus chapter 12 to the doorposts of their life and their sin. But now they're going back to adding law. There are factions of people, folks, that believe that your spiritual gift, your water baptism, they even believe that we've got to go back now. There's a big push and very big name ministers who want us to go back to obeying the Hebraic laws, even though all we've ever said is Christ freed us from the law. That's why it says here, knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Do you really know that? Are you now trying to put your faith? Are you now trying to put your faith in something that you do or your church does or man does or anything at all other than the shed blood of Christ? You've got to ask yourself these questions, folks. It's your soul. I've got to ask myself these questions daily. Look at yourself. Examine yourself per 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself under the microscope of Romans 6, 3 through 6. If you have been planted, knowing, know you not that so many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death, not into ceremonies, not even biblically sound things like Bible studying and praying. Nothing but the blood of Christ applied to the doorposts of your soul is going to save your soul. It's what he did on the cross. And these three ladies I talked to yesterday, let me say this. I just met them and talked to them there. They were churchgoers. And yet, by listening to them, I'm not so sure that their faith is strictly anymore in just Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm not saying it wasn't. I don't know. Examine yourself according to Romans chapter 6, 3 through 6. As 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, and I'm repeating, examine yourself daily, because only a believer has the option of walking through this life, either continuing his journey by his effort and faith in something he or someone else does, or is he still going to walk through this life depending on nothing but the shed blood of Jesus Christ for purification, for resistance to sin, for the ability not to go back to Egypt, for the ability not to go into temptation because the temptation feels good. I don't want to get burned by the temptation. I just want a little heat. And don't tell me we haven't done that. I've done that myself. I catch myself at that occasionally. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. It's our choice. I'm going to go to Romans 8. I'm jumping around, I realize. In Romans 8:13, it says here, And this is speaking to believers. Only believers have this choice. If we live after the flesh, which means our effort, our obeying the law, anything we've done, if our faith is in anything we've done, you will die. That's spiritual death. Because you can no longer, you can go into eternity someday, and you've been so long since you even trusted in the blood of Christ that it's not, Galatians 5:2 and 5:4 said that the cross will be of no effect. You read that, Galatians 5:2 and 5:4. You've got to examine yourself. This can happen to you. Examine yourself daily. That's what Luke 9:23 says, daily. Deny yourself. That means deny your ability to contribute anything to your salvation or your sanctification, anything from the time you are truly born again till the time you go to heaven. And if any thought comes in there, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, anything, any thought comes into your mind about anything you do, and now you can sense that you're starting to trust in your works a little bit, or the church works, or your denomination, or you're exhibiting what you're told are spiritual gifts. Anything. Bringing every thought that exalts itself above God is what 2 Corinthians 10:5, I believe, says. Bring every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Jesus Christ. Not the obedience of Carl, the obedience of Christ. That's exactly what we're talking about in Romans chapter 6, verse 5, where it said, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. Doesn't say you won't. It's not a free pass. It's not monopoly. Now, if you continue to walk in the flesh, or in the flesh, you will die. But if through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, ha-ha. So the idea of not going back to temptation, not playing with it, not tossing it back and forth, just to feel the nice warmth for a few moments of the joys we had in Egypt. You can't do that. Nothing you can do can resist it. If through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, get rid of addictions. Get rid of the things that are weighing you down. Do any of you have guilt? Do any of you languish over things that's happened in the past, bad decisions you made? I'm not saying these are sinful. I'm saying that these are things you do not need. You need to keep your faith in one thing. One of the biggest temptations to get our mind off of Jesus Christ that the enemy throws at us, and I touched on this when we talked about Sennacherib when I was substituting for Raven on Wednesday night. One of the biggest curses we could ever fall to is to think that we have done something to contribute to either our salvation and then further to our defeating sins in our life. And the enemy wants you to languish over bad decisions you made. The worst curse he can give you is to make you think that you had the option to do it right yourself the first time. No, you don't. That's the worst curse we could have, is think that I languish over what I've done in the past. In other words, if I'd have done it differently, I'd be a whole different person. No, you're a whole different person by applying nothing but the shed blood of Jesus Christ to the doorpost of your soul. Nothing else. Now, let me give you a verse that will prove that living by the Spirit only comes when your faith is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to go to Romans 8:2. And listen to this. This to me is basically the standard that I want to apply to my life. I don't say I live this way every day. Please don't hear what I didn't say again. The law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. I can accept that. the law of the spirit of life. So that tells me, as a Christian, I've got two laws that are working in me. And in Galatians 5:17, it says that the moment you're born again, you now have a battle you've never had. You are controlled by the flesh. You are only controlled in your best day by religion, your ability. You had nothing, no righteousness, no faith in Christ, no ideas whatsoever before you were born again. No ideas of holiness, of righteousness, faith in Christ. The moment you're born again, the Holy Spirit now cleanses you. You have been cleansed of our original sin we've inherited. But more than that happens. You now have the ability to be set free from the law of sin and death. There's only two laws, folks. And those two laws are exemplified in Galatians 5:17 also, where you now have the flesh warring against the spirit warring against the flesh. So you see what I'm saying? Only a born-again believer has the opportunity to choose. He's either going to walk in the flesh or he's going to walk in the spirit. And I'm telling you, the only way you can walk in the spirit is by applying the shed blood of Jesus Christ to the doorposts of your life. Going back to Exodus times, you apply the shed blood of the lamb without spot or blemish, perfect inside and out. That lamb took your sin. He died and shed his perfect, spotless, sinless blood. He never sinned, but he shed his blood as a sacrifice to pay for our sin. That's exactly what verse 2 says. If the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus, I want you to look at that in Romans 2. The law of the spirit of life only functions as your faith is in Christ Jesus alone. And that made you free from the law of sin and death. We're giving you a lot of verses today, but put them together. They all, you can't use them one without the other. Too bad. I would almost ask people to call and let me know if this is coming across, if I'm making this connection. I believe the Holy Spirit is doing it. I can't do it. That's a waste of time. But please, I pray. In fact, Holy Spirit, continue to give these people the connection. Give them the connection between Exodus 12, Romans 6, 3 through 6, Romans 8, 13, and Romans 8, 2, where the law of the spirit of life means the all the benefits that we get by the resurrected Jesus Christ in our life, they are only functional and only apply to our life as our faith is totally in the shed blood of the lamb. The lambs in Exodus 12 all pointing to John 1:29, and he says, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Connect all that. Connect Exodus 12. Connect John 1:14-29, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what every Passover lamb was representing. And then connect that with Romans 8:2, that if your faith is in nothing but the shed blood of the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, you are now made free from the law of sin and death. It does not come by ceremony. It does not come by church attendance. It does not come by random acts of kindness. It does not come by you leading a good life, because you can't. It's only Christ in you that can do it. These things that we're all searching for, folks, they do not come by any effort on our own or any accomplishment on our own. They come as our faith is strictly in the shed blood of the Lamb of God 2,000 years ago. And I know I'm getting repetitive. I know that. Keep this in mind. The law of the spirit of life only works in Christ Jesus. And only that, Christ Jesus, can make you free from the law of sin and death. I don't care how religious you are. I'm making this statement. A lot of people who are in church today, and the churches who I went to was jammed today. A lot of people, folks, who have been truly born again, they must examine it, including me. Me daily. It says in Luke 9:23. It says deny yourself daily. When it's talking deny yourself, it's not talking about deny, you know, eating more than you should or high calorie foods or whatever. It's talking about deny any ability of your own. And that's why I say if there's anyone listening to this program who languishes over bad decisions they've made, don't do it anymore, because the enemy wants you to get actually into the mindset that you believe if you hadn't done wrong, you would be better off. You're only better off. No, that's dependence on self. You see where that's a curse? If you can say, I wish I hadn't made bad decisions. I'm not saying that's wrong. But don't ever get to the thought where he now twists your mind where I've been at one time. And I realize this through the Holy Spirit. I'm starting to put my faith in the fact that if I wouldn't have committed those sins or I wouldn't have made this turn years ago, that I would be in good shape now. I would be in good shape because I'm a good person. After all, go out and buy yourself an edition of that book, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? That should be on my tombstone. No, it shouldn't. We're all bad people. Our righteousness is only as our faith is in the doorpost on the blood of Jesus Christ, not the blood of anybody else. Not the blood of a good Christian person, not the blood of a martyr, the blood of the Lamb of God, because only the blood of God, the Lamb of God, can take away our sins. That was the whole point of Exodus 12. Now I'm going to go back to Exodus 12:8. They shall eat the flesh in the night and rose that night. Don't wait because the death angel's coming. Roast it with fire means the fire has to consume and hit every inch of that lamb. Why? Because the judgment of God is on that lamb who committed no sin. He's a willing sacrifice for our sin, substitutionary sacrifice. And you eat it with unleavened bread. Unleavened bread means that the unleavened leaven was a reference to sin that spreads in you like a cancer. And bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Bitter herbs. That is saying it's bitter. When you eat this, remember that this was bitter. This was a horrendous thing Jesus Christ went through. But what did God say? That when he sees the blood of the lamb and he smells the blood of, when he smells the burning flesh of the sacrificial lamb, what did he actually say in the Old Testament? He said that was a pleasant fragrance in his nostrils. And what did God say in Jeremiah and all of the Old Testament prophets about the religious people who are trusting in their own good works? He said that odor in his nostrils, what did he say? He said it's an abomination. The very things that appeal to man, man's good works, man's church attendance, man's goodness, that's an abomination to God. He even, was it Jeremiah, he told him, close the doors. I'm sick of your festivals. I'm sick of your feast days. Close the doors because nothing is happening. You're trusting in yourself. You're making a God out of yourself and your works. He actually told him in Jeremiah, close the doors of your church. Are we fading into that? Are you down because of things you've done in the past? resolved through the power of the Holy Spirit only, as Romans 8:13 says, only that can clear your mind and your soul. It's only the Holy Spirit that can defeat or mortify the deeds of the body. But don't go any further in it, because I don't want you to get to the point where you think that, hey, if I'd have done something different, if I'd have done something different, things would be different. No, they wouldn't. Pleasing the man. And anything other than the sacrifice of Christ is an abomination in the nostrils of God. Isn't that amazing? Religion is an abomination, because religion is based on faith in what someone has done, including me. Faith in Jesus Christ is based upon 100% faith in what he's done, nothing that we've done. So this horrendous curse of us trying to make ourselves better, it's pleasing the man. It brings much money into seeker-sensitive and prosperity gospel churches. It brings much money into the church of Laodicea. But God says it's an abomination. The very thing that's pleasing to man's pride is an abomination to God, an abomination in his nostrils. But when he sees the smoke and smells the smoke coming from the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, John 1:14 and 1:29, when he smells the smoke, the judgment, the fire, the smoke coming up to his nostrils of his Son suffering for our sin, that is a pleasing aromatic smell in the nostrils of God. Religion has always been repugnant to God. Faith in Jesus Christ and him alone is repugnant to man. What satisfies, what's an aromatic smell in the nostrils of man is a abomination in the nostrils of God, and vice versa. Verse 9 of chapter 12, eat not of it raw, nor sodden with water, but roast with fire. In other words, don't do anything but burn this, singe it with fire, the fire of God's judgment on his Son to pay for our sins. Again, this whole Exodus chapter 12, you cannot divorce Exodus chapter 12 from Romans 6, 3 through 6. You cannot divorce the two. You cannot divorce it from Romans 8, 13 and Romans 8, 2. The way you continue to overcome, as Romans says, you shall not be under the dominion of sin. It says you shall not live again. Let me read it in Romans 6. It says that even so, we should walk in the newness of life, Romans 6, 4. In Romans 6, 5, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans 6, 6, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The only way that can happen, folks, is if your faith is in nothing but the blood of that Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, that all of the Old Testament lambs were pointing towards, the happening of 2,000 years ago that we celebrated today. Tie it all in together. It's your soul. It's your life. If you've never done it or you've not heard this before and something is clicking in your mind, just right now, while it's still on your mind, you still have these thoughts tied together, just go to the Holy Spirit and ask him. Ask him. He's the only one. All Carl can do on my best day is point you to the words of the Holy Spirit, which is the words of the Bible. The Word of God has power. The Word of God has the power. The Word of Carl is irrelevant in every situation. The only time you listen to anything I say is if I'm giving you biblical truth. And I don't mean just verses, but I'm giving you truth. I'm using other verses to substantiate. No one-verse theology here. No. The Bible in the Old Testament says every thought would be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Don't take any one-verse theology for anything. Yeah, if you want to believe John 10:30, where Jesus says, I and the Father are one, but by the same token, he says that over and over and over and over, especially in the Gospel of John. Nothing is on one verse. Do you have a one-verse theology? Is something in your church or your pastor or your Bible teacher or anybody, is there anything that is taking and put your faith in anything in addition, even good things in addition to the blood of the Lamb that's on the doorpost of your soul? Think about it. It's your soul. It's not mine. I'm not here trying to train you to come to my church because I don't have one. Okay, verse 10 of Exodus 12. You shall let nothing of it remain until morning. That means the urgency, folks, the urgency of your consuming that lamb, consuming Jesus Christ right now. You do not have a guarantee that you're going to be alive to go to bed tonight, wake up tomorrow morning. Don't put it off. You shall let nothing of it remain till morning, and that which remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. That means totally consumed. Don't let any part of what Jesus Christ did on the cross go without consuming every bit of it. You consume it by your accepting the grace of God to depend on nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And it is the grace of God. Titus 2:11, the grace of God for salvation, which comes only through the faith in the shed blood of Christ, appears to every man. So we don't even have the ability to make that commitment. It's not a commitment. It's in your will. You want your whole life to be centered around Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You want to be like Paul and say, I determined to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. I didn't want anything else. When anything else came up, I went to 2 Corinthians 10:5. And I told God in prayer, I'm starting to trust in this. I'm starting to trust in that. They're good works. And I'm starting to feel good. In other words, it appeals to my pride. Remember, what appeals to man is a abomination odor in the nostrils of God. Bring it under the judgment and the obedience of Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Don't battle with these thoughts of, I'm depressed, I've committed these sins, I'm sorry I've done all these things, and past failures keep coming off. Do me a favor, bring them to the cross. The shed blood of this lamb that we're talking about in Exodus 12 and Romans 6, He's covered it. He's already eased you of that pain. Please trust in Him. Just please trust. Are you tired of being hassled by things that happened years ago that you can't change? Go to the cross with Him. And at the cross, everything was dealt with. There's only one path to the cross, though, and unfortunately, you've got to go through the shed blood. And the shed blood is not pleasant. But you know what? It's not pleasant to man. But it is a sweet smell, a sweet odor in the nostrils of God, because only the cross and His Son losing His life as a sacrifice for our sin could save our souls. I'm going to finish up. I've only got about 8 minutes or so. Leave nothing of it remain in Exodus 12:10. If it remains till morning, burn it with fire. Totally consume it. Waste nothing. Don't let a day go by without going to God and asking Him to give you the grace that he has already given you at the cross, to give you the desire to respond to that grace and repent of your sin. Verse 11, you shall eat of it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. The Lord's Passover is that shed blood of the Lamb, and it's the only sacrifice God will accept for sin. You see, the Lamb had to be perfect, and after the lambs were dead, the 4,000 years of lambs, what did they do? They cut them all in pieces, made sure there was no spots or cancer or anything inside, because if the sacrifice was blemished, God could not accept it. Your salvation is based upon not your perfection, but the perfection of your sacrifice. Think of that. We know two people who failed in that. Number one was Cain. Remember that? All the vegetables he put forth, all the hard work he did, and God rejected it. And Cain went into depression and left God. Cain was overcome by grief, but he would not put his faith in the shed blood of the Lamb that his brother Abel did. So what did Cain do? Cain was a religious person. He killed his brother. No different today. Look at the religions. We got two major religions in the world today that have a history of killing believers. Your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. Why? Because you're getting out of here. You're going to pass into eternity. You're going to leave. You're leaving the old life you're in. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things are new. Verse 12. This is the promise on Passover back in thousands of years ago. I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite, means kill, all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. Are you worshiping a god of religion, a god of your denomination, a god of your own mentality, a god you've created, a god that tolerates sin, when it says in Romans 8:13, that put to death the deeds of the body by the power of the Holy Spirit? Verse 13 of Exodus 12, the blood shall be to you a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague will not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. It's our choice, folks. What do you want? Do you want to keep trusting in man? Do you want to split your, in some way, some percentages, your faith in Christ plus something else? No. Your faith in Christ plus or minus nothing. Take nothing away, add nothing to it. All right, continuing in chapter 12. I'm going to go to verse 22. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel of the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. Why? You're under the protection of the judgment of Egypt. You're under protection all night by the blood of the Lamb. That means remain in that house. Once you are, your faith is in the shed blood of Christ alone, don't change. Don't come out of there. Don't leave and go to religion or some fancy one like me who wants to get you to go to their church. And they appeal to your pride, tell you what a great person you are. And I don't have a church, so I'm only using myself as an example. The Lord will pass, in verse 23, the Lord will pass through and kill the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts of your house, the Lord will pass over the door. The day we go into eternity, the moment we go into eternity in Hebrews, it's appointed once the man to die and then the judgment. He's going to look for one thing, not your good works, not your religiosity, not your good intentions, not anything of you. Do the two side posts and the door posts above your door have the blood of the lamb on it or not? Was it there and you've erased it by now determining you've got to go back to obeying the Hebraic law? Ask these questions to yourself. I have to do it to myself. I know the one who's listening here, and incidentally, Raven, the thing is still spinning where it won't take your phone call. I'm going to be done in a couple of minutes. Please call me. Just so Dave knows what's going on. And what does he say here? Verse 24, you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. Forever, 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 forever. This will follow us into eternity. When we go, if you want to say, when we appear at the St. Peter at the gate, when we're there, as tradition says, he's going to look for one thing. Is the blood of his son applied to your doorpost? Period. Because to thy sons forever, it's going to be for eternity. You're going to have that mark of the blood on your doorposts of your life, of your soul, for eternity, or you're not. And I don't need to explain to you if you're not. Verse 25, it will come to pass when you come to the Lamb which the Lord will give you, according as he has promised, you shall keep this service. That's exactly why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, don't ever get away from applying the blood of the Lamb to your doorposts of your life, to the side posts and the posts over the door. Paul said, I determined to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. I determined. He threw out all religion. Read Philippians chapter 2 and 3. And it shall come to pass in 26 when your children will say to you, what be this service? And listen, this is where, and Raven, if you're still on, which I think you are, this is where you're doing a great job with your granddaughters and your grandchildren. This is a command. This isn't a recommendation. When your kids come to you and say, what does all this mean? What are you doing? You shall say, it is sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt. And when he smote the Egyptians, he delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshiped. Verse 27, and this is not just the compliment, an acquaintance of mine. She's very, very, very one-track mind as far as her children and her grandchildren. And I'm not saying that again to make anybody feel good. It's a command that we're given. Live your life so that your successors will ask you, what is this you're doing? Why are you doing it? And then tell them why you're doing it. Don't beat around the bush or try to give a secret sensitive answer. There's nothing secret sensitive or prosperity about what happened on Good Friday 2,000 years ago. Don't get caught up in that. It appeals to the flesh. But everything that appeals to the flesh is an abomination to God. And I'm now over my time. So, folks, I thank you for listening. I apologize for the confusion today. I have no idea what happened, but I'm going to make the assumption you've heard it. And I thank you for listening. Take care.